There was once a mother who had three sons. When each of these sons became men, when they became adults, they decided to make their living off the sea. This mom, as she thought about the career choice of her boys, was very, very puzzled. Why would her three sons decide to go out there and make their living off the sea? As mom thought about the choice of her sons, she was often reminded that the people who make their living this way are often rough and tough characters, and she was not enthused about having her children in this kind of environment on a regular basis. So this was something that really, really troubled her. One day this mom had a good friend come over. And this visitor, during the course of the conversation, was informed about this mother's concern. She said, "I simply can't understand. Well, my three boys are so attracted to the sea. They just want to live out there all the time." The visitor pointed the mother to a large picture that was hanging on one of the wall rooms in her house. This picture, if you were to look at it, it featured a large ship. And in addition to this large ship, there was a captain that was standing on the ship. And there were some waves, maybe not like we talked about this morning, but there were some waves. And there was this captain, he had a spyglass, and he was looking out somewhere in the distance. The visitor asked this mother how long this picture had been in her home. The mom said, "Oh, it's been there for a long time. Since my children were very, very small, this picture has been hanging on this wall. It's been part of the home decor for many years." The visitor then suggested that the picture that had hung on these walls for so many years had greatly influenced the children. In the mind of the visitor, the picture of the boat, as the young men saw this growing up, the captain, it influenced these three boys. So when they reached the age to choose a career, they wanted to do what they had seen on that wall year after year. Now one could argue, I suppose, over how much or how little influence a picture on a wall actually had over these three sons and their career choice. One cannot, however, argue the fact that influence is a very, very important part of life. We last week briefly touched on the subject of influence as we were presenting some information about children and families, and tonight we want to explore this topic, this subject, in more detail. Each one of us, as we live our lives, we're influenced. We're influenced by people and things every single day that we live on the earth. As we look at our lives, we're also influenced by the things and people that are around us. If we drove here tonight, we probably were influenced. If we stopped at one of the stop signs this way or this way, and we looked and saw another car coming a little faster than we were comfortable with, we were influenced by that driver. We were influenced not to pull out onto 15 or some other road. If we drive during a time when it's foggy or maybe it's night, we're influenced by the darkness or influenced by the fog. Our dress is often influenced by, if not others, other things. Not long ago, in fact, it was less than a week ago, Teresa bought a sweater. She came in and said, "What do you think?" She was influenced. Now it's in the bag, waiting to go back to the store. Our dress is influenced by the weather. We were influenced by the weather tonight. It's influenced by cost. It's influenced by the material, the composition. It's influenced by many things. One of the most powerful things in our world is influence. Influence is almost unavoidable. And as we think about influence, in some cases it's positive, and in other cases it's negative. As we consider the subject of influence, we find that the Bible tells us that influence is going to come from the people who are closest to us. In the Old Testament, as we go back and we study the kings of northern Israel, the kings of southern Israel, we find influence. It may not always be described with a specific word, but this is what we find. One example, 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings 22 verse 43, we're not going to read it, but if you were to turn back there, you'd have some information, you'd find some material about King Jehoshaphat. The Bible says that this king walked in the ways of his fathers. Now, if you were to look carefully at this verse, you would find it not only says he walked in the ways of his father, but he walked in all the ways of his father. This king was greatly influenced by a parent. Today, we sometimes hear people talk about an offspring. Oh, my child is the spitting image of me. Or my child is the spitting image of the mother or the grandfather or some other person. Parents can and parents do have a great influence on their children. Sometimes, as we look at young people growing up in a household, A young person may say, "I want to be just like you. Dad, I want to grow up and be just like you are. Mom, I want to grow up and be just like you are." Think of what's being said. The young child has been influenced by the parent. We are every single day influencing the young people that we have a chance to connect with. Suppose that later this week, there is a young child, maybe we're related to this child, maybe not. But suppose that sometime within the next 7 days, there is a child that says, I want to grow up and be just like you. Sometimes that happens. If this were to occur in our life, what would that mean? Would that mean that this person, this young person, as he or she grows up, would that mean that this individual becomes a Christian? Would this mean that this young child, if he becomes just like us or she becomes just like us, would this mean that this person is one of the most committed Christians in a local congregation? Would being just like us mean that this child would be on the road to heaven? Or this child would be on the road to hell? Parents influence their children. Children influence their parents every single day. And the influence that comes from parents and kids is often far more than we can ever imagine. Now, last week when I spoke about influence and dealing with this from the standpoint of children, I pulled some information from the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah. We're not going to use Nehemiah tonight, but we are going to go to another Old Testament passage that we don't use too often. I use Nehemiah because we don't usually turn to that book for too many things. Tonight we're going to turn to another passage that's often not used. In fact, if you've not read much of the New Testament, Jeremiah 35 might surprise you. This is an amazing chapter. God's prophet in Jeremiah 35 went to a family by the name of the Rechabites. And this family, as we'll not give you all the information about Jeremiah 35, but a basic overview is that the Rechabites were good folks. And they were set forward to offer a contrast between the unfaithfulness of Israel. Now, genealogies are not my specialty, but as I understand this group, they were linked with Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. And the prophet Jeremiah, out of all, and we have some strange things that happen in the Old Testament, but one of the odd things with Jeremiah is that he invites this family, this good family, this godly family, to do some drinking. Now, you know, did I hear that correctly? Yes. Jeremiah 35. If you turn back here, let's look at the first two verses. The word which came unto Jeremiah from Jehovah in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of God, or the house of Jehovah, into one of the chambers, and do what with them? And give them wine to drink. Huh, really? God's prophet, you go get these folks, these good folks, these godly folks, you bring them into the house of God, and you give them wine to drink. Now, in some cases, the word wine in the Old Testament describes grape juice. And here, though, I'm not persuaded that we are dealing with grape juice. Then in verse 5, if we skip down a couple of verses, things become even more specific. And, that fifth verse, I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls that were full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. Here's the wine. And Jeremiah, God's prophet, says, I want you to drink. Drink up. Here's a bunch of wine. It's in the Bible. The reaction or the response of these family members is found in the same chapter, verses 6 through 10. But they said, we will drink no wine. Why not? For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons, forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land wherein ye sojourn. And, this is also important, and we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and we have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. This family, when a prophet of God said, do this, they said no. We will not do it. Why not? Because they had been influenced by some family members. So when we think about the power of influence, it's there. The Bible is very, very specific about the power of influence. The seeds that we sow in our life when it comes to influence may not only directly affect this current generation that we're in. It may affect the next generation and the next generation and several generations after that. The influence from family is great. I was recently at a public event. Sat down, and there were a lot of people around me, and you know, it's in a public event and gathering, you never know exactly what's going to take place. But within 2 minutes of my sitting down, and you can usually tell the voice of a child, and I was pretty confident that it was the voice of the child, I heard three words, oh my God. I thought, So I didn't turn around. I just waited for a little bit, and within 2 more minutes, oh my God. And then, I mean, it just continued to be repeated. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, at this particular event. And I think before I left, I was there for probably a couple hours. And I heard that dozens of times. Finally had a chance to see who the youngster was. It was a young man about 10 years old. And as I had a chance to look at this young man and kind of size up the people who were with him, I do not know if it was dad and mom. I do not know if it was maybe one parent and a boyfriend, girlfriend, exactly what the situation was. And you really can't judge what's in a person's heart. But sometimes you can make some surface evaluations. And in looking at things, I suspect that at least one of the adults was a parent. And I thought, someone has influenced that 10-year-old child. Influence this child to the point where he's willing to take God's name in vain, not just once, not just twice, not just 10 times, but almost 100 times, again and again and again. Where did that influence come from? I do not know. Did it come from that man or that woman that was with him? Possibly, maybe not. But I do know this much. They were within earshot of this child. We were all sitting together, and unless they were absolutely deaf, they heard their child say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, and oh my God. And by their allowing this child to say those words again and again, they influenced the child. Their influence was, this is not a bad thing. This is something that needs to stop. They permitted it. And sometimes influence also falls into this particular category. Influence is most certainly exerted on others by family members. Parents, as we said, influence children. Children influence parents, even in a marriage relationship. A husband will influence the wife. The wife will influence the husband. Think about the influence that Eve had on Adam. She influenced him. She took of that forbidden fruit, whatever that was. The Bible does not tell us it was an apple or a pear. It's just not stated. But Eve ate that forbidden fruit, influenced Adam, and he followed suit. Influence comes from the families that we have. It also comes from those who are close to us in the church. The Bible tells us that people influence one another. I influence you. You influence me. This side influences this side. This side influences this side. We influence each other by the way we sing. We influence one another by how we attend. We influence one another by how we give. Everything that we do influences a fellow Christian. Well, someone says, how do you know that? I know that because God tells us that. Remember Acts chapter 9, verse 39? There was a woman by the name of Dorcas. She was a widow. Her actions influenced one another. Peter came to raise her from the dead, and those widows, they showed the coats that Dorcas made. Those garments, the work of this woman, influenced other Christians. We do not need to be old. We do not need to be married. We do not even need to be a Christian to influence someone. We certainly do not need to be related to them. We influence by our words, by our actions, by the things that we do, and by the things even sometimes that we do not do. In the New Testament, John, 1 John 2, verse 16, also spoke, not directly, but indirectly about the subject of influence. He said influence also comes from the world. He talked about the lust of the flesh. Influence there. The lust of the eyes. And the vainglory or the pride of life. All these things influence us, and obviously not in a positive way. Influence is all around us. And as we think about this topic, we find that some influence is positive, some influence is negative. In the Old Testament, we have many examples of bad or negative influence. There was a man, a ruler, by the name of Nadab. And in 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 25 and 26, it is said that this king, this ruler, caused or made Israel to sin. Why would he make that choice? The text tells us that he walked in the way of his father. Dad influenced this ruler, and that influence spilled over. The people who lead our nations have been influenced by someone. We may not think about that, but when we vote to elect someone as president or senator or congressman or mayor or dog catcher, all of these people have been influenced by someone. When we think about our local governments, the congregations where Christians worship, when we think about businesses, when we think about homes, every single level and part of society is somehow affected by influence. It is perhaps for this reason when Jesus began to teach, he paid attention to influence. He spoke about influence negatively and positively. In places like Luke chapter 12, verse 1, Jesus spoke about negative influence. He said, beware. He said, watch out. He said, when it comes to the Pharisees, there's leaven from these folks. Well, that's just another way of describing influence. Jesus said, these people are influencing others. They're influencing you. And you need to be careful because it is not a positive influence. Paul, 1 Corinthians 5. There was a situation where a man was involved with his father's wife. And Paul said, this is having a negative influence on the congregation. You have to deal with this. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. And in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, he said, you've got to get out that old leaven. You've got to purge it out. You've got to remove it. Why? Because it's having a negative influence on the group. Then later in this book, different situation, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, Paul said, evil companionships corrupt good morals. Once again, it's there, the idea of influence. The people, the things that we are exposed to, they will influence us. So we need to use great caution in this area. Now sometimes we'll come across a person who says, well, I'm a Christian, or I have good moral values, and yes, I understand that there are bad influences in the world, but because, you know, here is the way that I live my life, these terrible things, these negative influences, they will not have much impact on me. I'm pretty well free from negative influences because I'm so strong, I'm so spiritual, or something else. Bad influence often has a way of sneaking up on us. We see this demonstrated or illustrated in the book of Galatians. Midway through Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul told the Galatians that they'd gotten into some trouble. In the third chapter, he says, oh, you Galatians, you're foolish. You've been deceived. You've been tricked. In fact, in that opening verse of chapter 3, he says that some had bewitched the Galatians. They'd been influenced. Probably didn't think that they were being influenced negatively, but Paul said, somebody snuck up on you. Somebody's influenced you. And now things are not all that they should be. Towards the end of the book, Galatians 5, verse 7, he says, someone has hindered you. Why? Because they had allowed themselves to be influenced by the wrong folks. Paul said in Galatians 5, you were running well. You'd been influenced by good people. But now something's happened. You're being hindered. You're being held back. How come? Because of the bad influence. It's all too often the case that those who claim that they are not affected by any kind of negative influence, they've already been affected. Like the Galatians, they simply don't know about the negative influence that they've accepted or been impacted by. Improper influence can be so strong that it overthrows the faith of people. And that happened. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. Since influence is such an important and powerful and common thing, we need to pay close attention to this area of life and try to focus on influence that's positive and good. This is something that we see from Jesus. We're going to read from one more place tonight. This is going to come from the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew 5, verses 15 and 16, to be specific. And you may remember that in Matthew 5, verse 13, Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. What does that mean? It simply means that you're to be a good influence. Jesus said, influence is needed in the world. And you, if you want to be my people, you need to be the salt of the earth. You need to be that positive, that productive, that good influence. Then, if that wasn't clear enough, he said, I also want you to know, in addition to being like salt, you also are the light of the world. If we do not influence our world for God, who will? Who will? There is no one else. If we do not try to influence people to become Christians, who will offer that influence? It's not going to come from the devil and his people. Being a good influence is not always easy. And some would say, well, you know, it would be a whole lot easier in my life if I just hid any sign or any indication of positive influence. Jesus knew that. So after talking about being a good influence, be like salt, be like light, Jesus dealt with the temptation to hide being a positive influence. Look at verses 15 and 16 with Matthew 5. He said, neither do men light a lamp and put it under the bushel. But he said, they put this lamp on the stand, and it shineth unto all that are in the house. There's the influence. And then in 16, he said, even so, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Stated another way, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to become a Christian, then you have influence. And you need to let this influence radiate from your life. Do not hide your light. We need to be people who try to influence others for the right things and do things in the right way day after day. The influence, as we're looking at the home for some time, it needs to begin there. It also ultimately needs to radiate out to the world. Paul said, lights to the world. Philippians 2, verse 15. It's possible. As Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, he talked about how these Christians had influenced others. He says, you've influenced people in the area of Macedonia. You've influenced people in the area of Achaia. Is it possible to influence others outside our local area? Paul said it's possible. And if that was true 2,000 years ago with the technology they had, think about our day and time. We can exert influence throughout the whole county of Elkhart. We have the potential to exert influence throughout our state. From coast to coast, really. Imagine being able to exert influence not only throughout our state, throughout the United States, but really have the ability to do that throughout the world. We start in the home. And once we learn to build, create a good influence there, we let it go and grow. Now some might say, well, you know, how can I do that? You know, I'm just one person. I'm no preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. How could I possibly influence people? Yes, I can understand the home, but how could I have much influence beyond that? Well, with things like the internet, we have the power to influence people like no other generation has had. With literally the click of a button, or now with Windows 8, I don't have that, but it's my understanding that you can just touch the screen. With a fingertip, we have the ability to influence folks. We have at least some here who use Facebook. How many Facebook friends do we have? Every time we make a Facebook post, we influence somebody. May not be much of an influence, but we influence people. If we like something on Facebook, once again, we are offering some degree of influence. If we have at least one e-friend, we have the ability and we do influence folks every time we post something. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, you use that influence. If you are one of my people, you use that influence to impact the world for me. Now some might say, well, they might not accept my influence. Well, that's okay. We remember the story, Mark chapter 6, about John the Baptist. If you were to look at Mark 6, verse 20, you'd find that Herod, he's the fellow who was responsible for keeping John in prison, Herod listened to John. Herod listened to John gladly. Isn't that kind of interesting? Here's the guy who is responsible for having John's head removed, but he listens to it. He listens to him gladly. He likes to hear this preacher preach. And he was, at a later time, willing to end John's life. Now, John the Baptist was going to die. One way or another, he was not going to be alive, you know, to the last until 2012. He was going to have to die at some point. But John the Baptist was someone who chose to be an influence for truth and righteousness. And as we look at his life, his influence continues to live on. It's lived on for more than 2,000 years. And may live on, you know, for another 500, how many more years that the Lord delays his coming. We cannot be a good influence for others, a truly good influence if we're not a Christian. So tonight, that's one of the things that we need to consider. If we've not become a Christian, how can we really help point others to the way that's right if we ourselves have not done that? So this evening, if you have faith, that's good. With that belief, you can influence others. But have you repented? Have you looked at sin and said, this is not the way for me to live? We influence others by repentance. Have we confessed that Christ is the Son of God? We influence people by that. And then have we been baptized into Christ to obey the Lord, to have our sins forgiven, and ultimately to influence others? Someone says, well, I've done all those things. Wonderful. Are we living the Christian life? Are we trying to live the Christian life in such a way where each day we're doing our best to influence others for Christ? They may not always listen. John the Baptist, Mark 6, verse 20. But that's okay. The Lord says, you be like salt, you be like light. And then where the chips fall, he'll take responsibility. Our influence. Are we a Christian? Have we taken the necessary steps? Are we continuing to live as a Christian? If we can help you with your influence, help you become a Christian tonight, we'd like to extend both of those opportunities to you. If there's another way that we can aid you as well, we let us know about the need that you have as we stand and sing the selected song.